Hey, my name is Kirsty Rayner, and I am obsessed with all things mindset, meditation, business, and helping you to overcome those mindset blocks and magical breakthroughs in every season of life. I'm a multiple business owner, accredited transformational and mindset coach, Vedic meditation teacher, a yogi with 10 years marketing experience on paper, but informally, I'm obsessed with growth, a pale rosé wine lover, chocoholic, and your new bestie. We get into all the secrets and hacks to get you in an abundant mindset. So go and grab a coffee, get cozy, get comfortable. This is the Mindset and Me podcast. On this week's episode of the Mindset and Me podcast, I have the most incredible guest. She is my dear friend. She is an amazing mindset coach, amongst many other things. And we are all about collaboration over competition here. Really, truly women supporting women. And we wanted to do a pod swap this week to really showcase each other on our platforms. So without further ado, welcome to the podcast, my dear friend Fran. How are you?
I am wonderful. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh my goodness, it's a pleasure. It is an honor to have you here, Fran XL. So for someone who has not crossed paths with you yet, they obviously will by the end of this, I'd just love to know a little bit about your story and kind of how you have got where you are today.
Oh, goodness gracious. How long was this podcast?
Right.
It kind of starts where about 6 or 7 years ago, we kind of lost everything. Life kind of imploded seemingly overnight. We had a pub and restaurant, and we lost our home. We lost the business. We moved in with my mother-in-law, had zero money. Then I had a car crash where I flipped and rolled the car, and life just all seemed to kind of implode in one particular moment. So it's safe to say that kind of my self-esteem, my mindset, the way I thought of myself and the way I thought about life, I was Eeyore on a bad day, to put it lightly. I was probably one of the most negative people that you could meet. So there was this one moment where I had had really bad knees, and I went into the doctors and I came out with antidepressants. And I've never been a big medicator. I just haven't. I don't really particularly like to take paracetamol and things like that. So I felt a little deflated. And I kind of sat there just staring at them, day drinking some cider. And then my husband came home and was like, what's going on here? And he was like, you can do this. You don't need that. You can do this. And I kind of took him on his word. And I remember, and this is back in the day, where before personal growth and personal development, it was called self-help, right? And I remember I was in Waterstones, and I was just standing at the self-help section. And I found this book, and I was just like, okay, I'm just going to do one thing a day. Just one thing every single day that's positive. So I might read a personal quote or something like that. And that was basically the very beginning of my journey to becoming now what is obviously a transformational coach, NLP practitioner. I'm studying for my hypnotherapy. I'm a heart math coach, trauma-informed, a load of other things as well, because I fell in love with this passion that I'd forgotten that I had. I did psychology at A-level and didn't follow that path because I didn't really think it was for me. It was academic. I thought I was, you know, a little bit stupid. And here I am today as a former Eeyore on a bad day with being the host of the Positive Pants podcast and helping business owners overcome stress and self-sabotage so they can get time and control back in their life. It's like I understand how to human now, and I didn't back then. And I think a huge part of what I'm so passionate about now is so many of us are walking around with this belief that we're the problem, and actually our experiences are the problem, or things that we've gone through in life, the way that we've been brought up, the society we've been in, the environment we've been in, and all of these different things that have had such a profound effect on how we show up in the world. And there's so many people, I see it particularly with female business owners, of beating themselves up all the time. We're horrible to ourselves in our own head. And I was even when life imploded, that I always talk about that as the start of my journey, but really it wasn't. I think I struggled with anxiety for my whole life. I used to be so self-conscious. I wouldn't go anywhere by myself in case people judged me that, oh, she's by herself. She doesn't have any friends. Like it was quite profound. And it's amazing that you walk around thinking that this is a normal way to think. And then you realize and you learn all this stuff. And you're like, why wasn't I taught this in school? Why has no one ever told me this stuff? I would have not beaten myself up for my entire life. And I now know how capable I am of anything that I want to achieve. If it's possible in the world, it's possible for me. And I help other people to see that because I genuinely believe it. It's not just a belief. I know it to be true. We've just got to peel back the layers of the onion. Now I have my business, which I love, and I'm always helping female business owners get out of their own way. So yeah, that's a little bit of my story.
Thank you for being so generous. And what I love about that, I mean, to paraphrase, but is you kind of turned your messy into your mission, right? Like you yeah. don't want other people to feel that way. And I see that, and your authenticity shines through when, you know, you even connect with people online in that space. You're very giving and very generous of that. And I guess that comes from actually a real deep core innate level of empathy.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, people have always said that I feel other people's feelings, but it's having felt it before. I don't want anyone to have to feel what I felt about myself when they don't have to, when sometimes just a little bit of understanding about how we tick as human beings is all you need sometimes to just be able to completely shift the way that you see yourself and what you're capable of. And you know, you can always say it's simple, but it's not easy, because, you know, you've got to learn to rewire your neural networks through your nervous system and your brain. Absolutely. But it's just knowing that that's possible. You know, who you are today isn't who you have to be tomorrow. Like, just knowing that is something that I find incredibly comforting and powerful.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd just be really super curious to know, when you were obviously in the self-help section and you were doing one thing a day, is there anything now, kind of reflecting back on that time, that really stands out for you that you could share, just to be like super useful for somebody who's listening who maybe feels like they're in that space right now?
Yeah, it's you don't have to go from 0 to 100 miles an hour in 60 seconds flat. It's the biggest thing I can tell you. Where I was, I knew that, you know, there's that desire to be fixed in some way. And I'm always saying to people on the podcast, like, you're not broken. You don't need fixing. There's just some things that we need to rewire and learn to self-regulation and things like that. But it's this desire to go, I just want to be fixed, and feeling like a book's going to fix you. So what I did in that moment, I was just like, look, I'm just going to take it a day at a time. And I'm just going to take it one step at a time. And it was trying to understand, and it started working. So I would either look at a quote, or I would like a phrase, or, you know, I'd constantly be on the good quote when you Google for particular quotes online. Yes. And stuff like that. Or I would watch a motivational video, and I would say, look, I'm just going to live by this one thing for today.
So that's all super helpful as well. And like taking those little steps in time and not rushing the process. We talk about this so much, don't we, actually, with each other, even just to help each other and guide each other in a really like beautiful way, just helping each other within our businesses. So for in terms of when things come up for you, because I know when I have conversations with men, with women, they still have those mindset blocks that come up and those moments that feel really, really difficult to navigate. So giving an example of something where that might come up for you, what is the things that you do or the coping mechanisms that you go back to time after time that really help you to progress where you are?
Oh my goodness, there's so many now. When I think about the toolkit that I've got at my disposal now, it blows my mind. But it's sometimes the most simple things that can help us through. So for example, using the breath. So many of us sit at our desks and we don't breathe, you know, and when you start to look at this, you might actually start to notice that there could be a really long gap in between your breath. And one of the things that we know is that when you breathe in, that activates your parasympathetic nervous system. And when you breathe out, that activates your parasympathetic nervous system. So when we know that, we can start to balance things. So sometimes, like, if something shocks us or if we're stressed, we might, like, sharp intake of breath and kind of hold it. But actually, when we can send that long exhale, it sends the signals to our brain and our body that we're safe. So it helps calm everything down, calms down your nervous system. Because one of the things, like, if we're in a stress response or something's upset us, your prefrontal cortex, which is the CEO of your brain, goes offline. Like, that's where decisions are made, conscious thinking. You know, that's where you can actually rationally go, okay, well, this is the best decision for me. But what normally happens is our amygdalas take over and we go back into our limbic system, into our emotional brain, and then that's running the show. You know, it's the threat has been registered. But what we want to do is use our breath and take that pause to bring our prefrontal cortex back online so we can start thinking more clearly. So that's something that I use all the time, is breath. So there's tons of different breathing techniques. There's the box breath, which is breathe in for four, hold for four, out for four, hold for four. But that's a nice one because that balances the sympathetic and the parasympathetic. One thing I use all the time is heart math, which is around 5 seconds in, 5 seconds out. Mm. But there's a lot more to it than that. But that's essentially the simple breathing technique. And then things like the 4-7-8-3, which is breathe in for four, hold for seven, out for eight, and repeat three times. And it just allows that time. First of all, you're mindfully counting. So it takes your attention off the big thing that has kind of upset you or triggered you or whatever it may be, and gives you that little moment to actually catch your breath and go, okay, here's how I'm going to take a step forward. Because you really can't make good decisions from a fear-based place. So that's definitely something, like, just remembering to breathe is so simple, but so many of us forget to do it.
Oh, it's so, so powerful. It's so potent. I mean, obviously, I'm a meditation teacher and, like, obsessed with everything to do with breath. But, like, breath work is not the same as in a meditation. You know, it's his own practice in its own right. And obviously, to kind of find out what feels good for you is super powerful. You touched on stress there, and I really want to be able to have that conversation, because I know you have an incredible course, the SOS course, but I'd love to really know what it is about stress that has made you so passionate, and how you help people who are feeling that huge, you know, when you're stressed and it's like the world is on your shoulders. How do you navigate that with people?
Well, so much of it is understanding what is actually happening. So that's what the course does. It's kind of like, I teach you how to create awareness, because if you don't have awareness that you're triggered or you're stressed, because so many of us, such a huge percentage of the population, are kind of living in a stress response, like, all the time. And we're not designed to do that. We're designed to have, like, short bursts of it and then recover, you know. But most of us are kind of living in that heightened state. And when you understand that means that there's cortisol and adrenaline just running through your body all the time, and what that can do and what that means long term, it can give you a little bit of fire in your belly to actually look at it. But I teach people, you know, what's going on in your nervous system. Let's have a look at the things that actually cause you stress. So actually, one of the modules is all around attachment theory. And attachment theory is a relational field of psychology where you are understanding the things that kind of set you off and set off your stress response within relationships, like what you need, what triggers you. Because so much of this stuff drives our day-to-day lives, and we walk around feeling like it's just a normal thing that sometimes so many of us don't realize that we can feel better. And so it's really important to me, particularly because my niche is entrepreneurs, as business owners. I mean, if they're not the most stressed people, I don't really know who are, because we, you know, you put so much on yourself. So it's really important to me for people to not sit there in a stress response. Like I just said, you're not making good decisions from that place. You can't. And you're allowing that to rule your behavior, because all the chemicals that are going around your body are driving your behavior, which will cause you to do or not do certain things. So it's so important. So awareness is fundamental to what your stresses actually are. And then understanding what stress really is, what it's doing inside your body and in your brain. So understanding that your prefrontal cortex goes offline, and then understanding your emotions and what they do and the nervous system and what that does. Like, it's just, when you understand how you work, you kind of have no option then but to stop beating yourself up. But you also in the moment are able to go, hang on a minute. I know what I'm doing here. I know what's going on. And I also know that I have the tools to get out of it. So that's just something that's really important to me, because I think so many people are running themselves to the bone because they're stressed. Like, that stress is actually driving them to run themselves to the bone. They're not able to take a step back and go, hang on a minute. What is making me believe that I need to do this to be successful?
And what is success, right? It's completely different to everyone. I'd love to know, when you say people are running themselves ragged, do you see a pattern? Like, are you seeing a common behavior in all different types of business owners or entrepreneurs when you work with them?
Yes. Yeah, massively. So much of our businesses are kind of driven from like childhood stuff. So it could be that, you know, that teacher in school that told you you'd never amount to anything, or an overbearing parent, or a parent that kind of valued you and celebrated A grades and not so much the B and C grades. There's all these things that drive us to be kind of overachievers, because it's often not about us. It's we're trying to fulfill something for somebody else. But we just don't understand that that's what we're doing. So when you can know that and go, hang on a minute, it makes perfect sense. Because when I was young, so-and-so used to say this to me, and that made me believe that for me to be successful, I had to work really hard. Because you've also got to think about what you modeled. Like, if you saw your parents when you were growing up and they were just like working all hours, or one of them was working all hours and just wasn't emotionally available to you, that taught you that that's what you do. You know, that work takes precedence, or it teaches you that you have to work hard to get by. Because, and it can be related to so many different things. Like, if they worked really hard and were well off, it could teach you, well, you have to work really hard to get money. But if you work, if they were working really hard to just kind of scrape by, it teaches you that as well. You know, you have to work really hard and you're only ever going to scrape by. So a load of money mindset stuff comes into it as well. And then that's linked to other stresses that we have. So people don't really understand that everything is so linked, and so much of it is about a stress response in our system. And so much of it can be traced back to things that we saw or heard or modeled as children. So it's one of my passions is, I'm incredibly frustrated at how little of this is taught in schools and to parents and grandparents and things like that. It's and somebody actually asked me earlier today, why did you go down the route of doing all these different modalities that you're trained in versus, you know, doing a master's in psychology or becoming a psychologist or something like that? And the reality was that for me, when I was looking at all the programs, it wasn't teaching me the things that I needed to know to help somebody make a difference. It would have been purely an academic reason, you know, to have some letters after my name. But actually, a huge amount of the modalities that I'm trained in are far more cutting edge. You know, that being trauma informed, that's not actually kind of, a lot of that isn't hitting those trainings just yet. I think in America they're a lot more advanced, but when I was looking at all the courses, like, trauma wasn't covered, and, you know, things like heart math wouldn't be covered. And so it's just really important to me that this stuff is out in the world. So yeah, and helping people understand that the things that happen to us in our lives drive our behavior negatively and positively.
I was just about to say that exactly. It can also be a greatly positive thing. So often when we reflect back and we look at childhood, you know, you can sort of unleash some things, but also similarly, like the way that we're brought up, like me and you were very privileged, you know, so there may have been other things that have happened, but I also recognize my privilege and understand that where I am is where maybe tons of people would love to be. So like, let's empower yeah. people to help people get on their journey. And I love how passionate you are about trauma, because I am a big stickler for people using this word very lightly, right? Mm. You know, putting it on Instagram, or if you feel traumatized, use these journal prompts. And trauma is yeah. trauma, and it shouldn't be used yeah. lightly. And I've always found that, like, ever since we reconnected a few years ago, about all your work in trauma is fascinating.
Mm. Like polyvagal theory and all of these, like, all those, like people like Gabor Maté and Bessel van der Kolk yeah. and Stephen Porges, like all of these people who are, you know, way ahead in terms of some of the things that are more, so to speak, mainstream. It's becoming more mainstream, but you're so right. And when it comes to trauma, it's a difficult one, because there are big T traumas, and there are little T traumas. And sometimes people don't understand that, you know, for example, a phobia often comes from a little T trauma, but it registers in your system mm-hmm. as something dangerous. Like I have a terrible needle phobia that has been really, really difficult for me to shake. I've still not managed to crack it. And I know that it came from when I was 2 years old and I was having my injections, and I moved my arm and the nurse scraped and drew blood along my arm with the needle. But she screamed at me and she screamed at my mum. And as a 2 year old, that registered in my body as some serious danger. So now it's incredibly difficult for me to you know, have blood taken or go for jabs and all of these different things. So that to the average person, it's not a big thing, but it doesn't matter. It's how it registers to you. It's kind of like it's anything that's too much, too fast, or too soon, or too little for too long. So it's very nuanced. And you're so right. There are so many people talking about it, and I get frustrated because there's also qualifications out there, you know, saying, come train. And I got asked the other day, how did you become a mindset coach? And I'm like, I'm trained in like 8 different modalities, and I'm qualifying in another 7. It's not something you go and just be. It comes from your experiences. It comes from your trainings and qualifications, and you know and it's a very unique thing. So someone going like, I want to do what you do, that's actually very difficult. Like what people worry a lot about, people copying. No one could copy me because I have my very unique way of doing things. Exactly the same with you. You have your unique experiences and your unique modalities and your unique combination of things that you use. And I think it's really important that when you find something, that you know, continue to be a lifelong learner in it, because there's always going to be a new element that comes up. And that's what I actually love about this work. There's always something else. That's why I've got 7 qualifications on the go at the same time, because there's so much to learn. And if you ever go out there and feel and, you know, act like you know it all, that's when you're going to get stuck. But it's always knowing that there's room to grow.
I think as well, it's a great quality in a coach to be an avid learner, which we are, which we both are, but to have, you want to learn about people. I meet someone, I'm like, tell me everything about you. They're like, can you be a little bit more specific? What is it that you really want to know? But we're like that and constantly learning, and self-development is, I mean, you're making the best investment when you invest in yourself. And I think, you know, to work with a coach or someone to work with you, Fran, can be, you know, it's a big investment to them. But I think if you don't make investments that just push you that little bit and make it a bit uncomfortable, you're not going to find the growth. You have to get into your growth mindset and come out of that fixed space and kind of really, really hone in on exactly what you want. So the way that you work, I think is really unique, actually. And that's why it's so nice to have you on the podcast, because you are the perfect fit, and we are both mindset coaches, yet we are both so different. So I just love that.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. So to make this episode super, super useful, I mean, my goodness, everyone pretty much should know everything about you now, Fran. But what is
I like one to talk, what can I say?
Yeah, she does. Oh my goodness, she does. This is her on her best behavior. What is something that you do every day in your daily life? Now, not a daily routine or a morning routine, because we're way past that. But what is something that you do every day to keep you on track? And then what's one hack that somebody can take away today?
Every single day. I have it flash up on my phone, actually, this. But it's something that I live by every single morning. I'm like, what's... Because you wake up and you're in a different mood, aren't you? You know, there's sometimes of the month that you're not so productive and things like that. But I always ask myself, what's one thing I could do today to make me better tomorrow? So it's always moving forward. And I think you do something similar with like, what's 1% better? So it's something really, really similar to that. Mm. Like just what's one thing that I could do today that's going to move me forwards? So, yeah. And then the hack would be probably going back to remembering to breathe. Like if you're sat at your desk, just start to notice where you're holding tension and if you're holding your breath as well. Those two things. Like just start at the crown of your head and just notice your shoulders. Are you holding tension in your jaw? And just drop it. Release that tension and breathe out.
Oh my goodness, I love that so much. It's so powerful, it's so potent, isn't it? Just let it go, feel the body relax. I love that so much. Fran, thank you so much for all of this information, for being so generous with your story. Where can everybody find you?
Oh, it's my pleasure. I normally hanging out doing silly reels or on my stories over on Instagram, which is at I'm Fran Excel with two L's. My website is franexcel.com. And if you go over to my Instagram, there's a little freebie in there actually that helps with that hack as well, just in the link in my bio. So go help yourself.
I love that. And go listen to Fran's podcast, the Positive Pants podcast as well, which is really difficult to say, actually, Fran. All the P's.
I forgot I hang out there as well.
Thank you so much, Fran. Take care. I really hope you enjoyed that conversation with Fran as much as me. She is one of my dear friends. We've known each other, oh my goodness, for almost 15 years now. And she's really, really inspiring. Her work is her passion. Her passion is her work. Mindset is everything to her. Mindset is everything to me, everything to you. And so bearing that in mind, I want you to get comfortable, get cozy. Maybe find somewhere that's a little bit quieter. Maybe close the curtains and just take a moment to get into that really comfortable position for our meditation today. And for this meditation, I want us to really connect to the body and almost think about what Fran was saying. Really, I want you to feel the breath within the body. So maybe one hand over the heart center, one hand over the belly, closing the eyes. Drawing in a nice deep breath, feel that expansion. And exhale to release. Let everything go that you've been holding on to today. Any stresses, any worries. Maybe any sabotaging thoughts that you've had, anything that's been holding you back. Just let that go. You are exactly where you are supposed to be in this moment. Drawing in that breath, feeling the body relax, and taking a moment to visualize yourself in a place of complete serenity. So maybe that's where you are right now in this moment. Maybe you visualize yourself, your favorite place on holiday. Oh my goodness, it won't be long. You see yourself maybe by the ocean or by a river. Maybe you live in a city and you escape to your rooftop, but that's your place of serenity. You can hear the noise down below you, but you're up there and it's quiet. Whatever that feels like for you. Draw in that breath, feel that connection, visualize yourself there. And with every inhale that you take, you begin to feel light. You begin to let go. Thank you. you begin to feel light. You begin to let go. You are exactly where you are supposed to be. You feel that connection to the heart center. You feel that connection to the belly and the breath. You feel the wave of motion with the inhale and the release with the exhale. You are exactly where you are supposed to be in this moment, drawing both hands over the heart center. Taking a nice deep breath, really fill the lungs. Feel the breath, become at one with the breath. Exhale, release, open the mouth. And then gently opening the eyes. Thank you so much for being here for yet another episode. If you did enjoy, please do subscribe, leave a review. If you didn't, don't worry about it. Please don't leave a bad one. Thank you so, so much. Remember to share with your friends, share with your colleagues, share with the family. And I can't wait to speak to you next week.